Oh, let's bring all the sinners in. Saints are here. Good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate that prelude. There are a few people in this room more childish than me, so that was very nice. Thank you so much, Hae-jeon, for all your wonderful work. Couple of announcements in our life together as church. No, this is not my last Sunday. That will be next Sunday. I have to fill out the payroll, so we will be here, and we have book study tomorrow, and we have book study next Monday, and that will be my swan song, but looking forward to all of that. Some announcements in our life together as church. There's going to be a brief reception or a light lunch reception following the service so that you can say kind lies to me and breathe a sigh of relief that it's almost over. And to that end, Sarah McCowan has some announcements on proper propriety.
Me again. Today, we honor the Reverend Dr. Kenneth B. McKenzie for his service to the First Presbyterian Church as our interim minister from November the 21st, 2022 until June the 30th, 2024. When the search began for an interim minister, we quickly had 29 applicants from across the country. But it was the 30th applicant that struck a chord with the committee.
The last shall be first.
Absolutely. Whether we were connected by a chance meeting at a chance lunch at a presbytery meeting or through divine intervention or both, Ken McKenzie found his way to our congregation and into our hearts. One meeting with the committee, and we were secure in our decision that this was the direction God wanted us to go. Ken has provided leadership, guidance, helped us to discover our strengths, examine our weaknesses, and renew the spiritual life of our congregation. The Lord promised us in Jeremiah 3:15 that I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. The Lord certainly did that with Ken McKenzie. Now, Ken, your time with us is coming to a close, so I considered the best way to honor and thank you. My first thought was to lead a rousing chorus of Rocky Top.
Oh, dear God.
But I really wasn't interested in reenacting the stoning of Stephen today. So I decided against that. Many of you may remember about a year ago a very popular movie that came out that included a prominent character, Ken, played by Ryan Gosling. How could we forget all the pink that Barbie encouraged, the Barbie movie encouraged?
Oh no. My Lord.
So, my second thought was to sing I'm Just Ken from the movie. But then I thought better and decided to go with just the pink.
Pink.
Yeah. And this memento of how we feel about our kin.
No ticking.
Nope.
It's digital. It's digital.
Thank
and it's 4X.
Ryan Gosling came up with two new words while promoting the Barbie movie, which remarkably also relate to our kin. The first one is Kenergy, K-E-N-E-R-G-Y, the spirit of going beyond the ordinary. The second one is Kenning, K-E-N-N-I-N-G, to give more than is necessary or required, to reflect so that others might shine. Ken, your Kenergy provided the strength to maintain a period of kenning over the past 19 months. You have helped First Presbyterian Church to shine, for which we are most grateful. 1 Peter 5:2 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve." Ken, you have eagerly served all ages of this congregation, both adults and children.
I might just cry. Thank you all.
Group hug.
Thank you. Come here, Haynes. We're going to be immortalized on something. Not film. Thank you. Oh, y'all, please.
All right, these children would like to give you this cherished rocking chair that so that you will take a piece of their hearts with you.
Oh, thank you.
I think there's something on the back of it.
Jesus Loves Me, presented to the Reverend Dr. Ken McKenzie, 2022 through 2024, the children of Dalton FEC. Thank you so much. Mike Brown had to repair this thing about 6 times, I think. It kept breaking down, I don't know why. But he has made it indestructible now. Thank you so much. Oh, I will cherish it always and rock incessantly.
Well, we fully expect to see it at the Conoco at the intersection of 515 and Windy Ridge Road in Blue Ridge, a seat of authority among the Council of the Wise for our dear friend Otter.
Thank you.
Finally, as 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 13 tells us, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Ken, we hold you in the highest regard. Please accept this gift from your congregation as a token of our love and thanksgiving for all you have done and meant to us during your time as interim with us.
Thank you.
And one final Barbie quote. It is the best day ever. So was yesterday. So is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever. We are all forever changed and better for having known you, Reverend Dr. Ken McKenzie.
I don't have to preach now. She took up all the time. Oh, so the illusion has worked. Thank you for those kind words and the lovely gifts. And know that as I go out again into the halls of retirement, this being the final time, it is good and wonderful to have gone out with this congregation, which will set the tone for my ministry from now on. God bless you, one and all. Now, if I may, a special announcement. My wife, Miss Vicky, and my cousin Emily are over here. Please stand. She really does exist. She has been kind of like the Loch Ness Monster. You know, we suspect she was there, but here she really is. So, y'all can sit down now. My dear sister Millie sent me a text last night that she could not come today, but sent her warm wishes and love. And I told her that I would do my best not to embarrass her. She's watching even as we speak, and something about a run in her pantyhose prevented her from being here. But I won't embarrass her other than this from your loving brother. I think I'll let you read the rest of the announcements with the exception of these two. Hayden Poe, one of our choral scholars, is in New York City to compete in the Jimmy Awards on Monday the 24th at 7:30 p.m. And you can find more information in the midweek news. Also, Adam Stark up there, yes, sir, in the Little Shop of Horrors at the Dalton Little Theater. So go and support Adam and buy 20 tickets apiece so that you can fill the place up. Any other announcements in the life of church? We have a watch party for the ordination of your next pastor, Nicole Giscout. That's going to be this afternoon at 4 p.m. in Hollis Hall. It's going to be in the sanctuary. How appropriate. Wonderful. And finally, the congregational life team is putting together a welcome basket for her. So contribute generously to that. That having been said, I think that concludes our announcements, unless somebody else has something. Seeing none, the peace of Christ be with you all.
Stand for the call to worship. Your hand is upon us, O God.
You guide and protect us through the ages.
Keep in your service those you have called and anointed.
Do not let the powers of this world overwhelm us.
Rather, secure in your love, may we carry out your will in the face of all adversity.
Amen and amen. Let us worship God.
And let us pray. Loving God, open our ears to hear your word, our spirits to sense your presence, and our hearts to receive your love. Draw us closer to you, that the whole world may be one with you, as you are one with us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence, praying in silence. And together we pray. For Forgive us for sitting in our stubbornness like petulant children, O God. Remove our pride, our anger, our greed, and our fear. Speak words of compassion and acceptance in the midst of our self-centeredness, and take us gently by the hand. Lead us the path which leads us not to hatred and warfare, but rather that kingdom which shall know neither weeping nor fear, but rather the exultant exclamation of the redeemed. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Seated. Now we'll have our time with the children, and I'll ask all the young hearts to come forward. Now, I didn't think you'd do it. We are, after all, Presbyterians. Come on up, Hannah. Come on up, Haynes. Haynes, are you sleepy this morning? No. Did you not sleep well last night? You did? Okay. Sometimes I'm sleepy all through the day, too. Good morning!
Good morning!
Pull the wool over your eyes that time. Good morning!
Good morning!
Okay, now we got one. We woke up all the people who are already asleep out there. Well, you know, we're celebrating my last time with you today, but actually I'll be here next Sunday. I don't know if y'all are going to be out of golf tournaments or what, but saying goodbye is always kind of hard unless you remember one thing about the word goodbye. It is a simplification of the phrase, God be with ye, God be with ye, which is a wish and it's a prayer. And it means wherever you go, and whatever you do, I hope that God will be with you. Actually, tell you a secret. I know that God will be with you because I know that God loves you. And I know that God loves me. And that means wherever we go, God will be with us all together. And we're part of one big, happy family. I want you to know it's been so much fun to watch both of you grow over the last 18 months or so. You are developing into a beautiful young lady and a handsome young man. And God is going to bless you and keep you. And I also want you to know that wherever we go, you are always going to have a piece of my heart, like those over there that you so graciously made for me. I'm going to remember both of you the rest of my life, and I'm going to think of you fondly. And if you get a chance and you think about it in the years to come, don't hesitate to give me a call, because I will always be available to you. You are precious to me, and I hope you will always know that. So, on that note, God be with ye, and may God stick with ye forever and a day. Let's pray together. Holy God, saying goodbye can be hard, but when we remember, it is really a prayer that God will be with all of us. It makes it a little less hard. Help us to remember that we're all part of one big family of love, and grant that these, your smaller servants, may grow into the fullness of your love and your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'll see you next Sunday.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Samuel, chapter 17. Listen for God's word. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or bear came and took the lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the paw of the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor, put a bronze helmet on his head, and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to it. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David and his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "I am a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This very day, the Lord will deliver you unto my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all of the assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine drew nearer to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sank deep into his forehead, and he fell to the ground. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 6. Listen for God's word. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on the day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We're putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless night, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We're treated as impostors, yet we're true, as unknown, yet we're well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, and punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affection, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I can say is wow. I have appreciated our choir from my first day here. And I requested this particular anthem a couple of weeks ago. And Haejeong said, I think I'll try to play it on the organ. She's not an organist, she says, but behold, we have an organist and a marvelous choir, and I will never forget you. Thank you. Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to St. Mark. We are reading from the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. On that day, when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind him, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm rose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why were you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Our lives, O Lord, are sometimes like the raging seas and battles with giants. And yet you call us to remember that you are our safe harbor and our eternal champion. Help us to hear these words afresh, ancient though they may be, and settle in us that peace that comes through faith. Faith which is based in the experience of the past, in the expression of the present, and in the anticipation of the future. You who are the everlasting instant. Amen. Well, you know, it occurred to me that I have never preached in all my career on David and Goliath. You know, it's such a familiar passage, but I just never preached on it. I told Alex this morning as I was heading down to the study to think about what I was going to say. And I say, well, we're preaching on Samson and Goliath. And Alex seemed to indicate that that might be a poor foreboding of the sermon. He said, "You mean David and Goliath?" Just goes to show what a theological education does for you. I love that story. We've all heard it before. It's a magnificent tale of David, who would later be king of Israel, who would unite all the tribes and establish a kingdom of which Solomon would follow and bring it into the halls of history. David, the shepherd boy, he knew that the war was going on, the battle was about to be fought. His father had sent him with food for his three brothers who were soldiers in the army. And he wanted to kind of stick around, see how things were going to go. For 40 days, the two armies had been facing each other. For 40 days, this guy, Goliath, would come out into the middle, kind of the DMZ, And he would say, send me your champion, and we will decide this by combat between he and me. Well, the Israelites were not too keen on this proposition. They didn't know what to do. For 40 days, Goliath had come out there, all in his splendor, 9 feet 9 inches tall, if our math is correct. That's a bit taller than me. He wore armor that weighed 145 pounds. His helmet alone was 30 pounds. Any of you football players kind of think about that? I'm not one of you. I come from a long line of live cowards. Thank you very much. His sword alone weighed something in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 pounds. And there he was, resplendent in that polished armor, all 9 foot 9 of him, some 600 pounds of ripped male body. I noticed some of the ladies were kind of shaking at that thought. There he was. And David saw him on the 40th day, and he told Saul, let me at him. And Saul says, you can't do that. You're just a kid. Let me at him. I got the Lord on my side. I'm feeling the Spirit. Let me go have a lick at him. Saul says, okay. You might as well go. The cause is lost anyway. Let's show them what bravery looks like. Let me put my armor on you. And he does, and he looks ridiculous. Saul was not a small person himself. David, not too tall, not too big around, kind of svelte, kind of small but fit, but he wasn't going to fit into that armor. David looks at himself and he tells King Saul, I look ridiculous. Take this stuff off me. I have fought bears and I have fought lions and I don't need all this stuff. And so Saul takes the armor back. David goes out in the field, grabs 5 stones for his sling. Now, do damage to your perception of these stones. We have found them in archaeological excavations. These stones we think of about the size of a golf ball. That's what the Greeks and the Romans used in their slings. But the Hebrews, the Israelites, had a different idea. Theirs were the size of tennis balls. Now you figure a stone of that circumference and that mass coming at you at an estimated 140 miles an hour. As Mother Army used to say in her infinite wisdom, that will put a hole in your t-shirt and ruin your entire day. And that's what happened. Goliath comes out and mocks David, and David goes out to meet him, gets that sling going, whap, hits Goliath right in the middle of the forehead, and scripture says the stone sunk into him, into his forehead. The first recorded prefrontal lobotomy. And then David took Goliath's sword and killed him, took off his head. And the Philistines ran in panic. And the Israelites pursued and won the day because of the courage of one heretofore unnamed, unregarded young man. Think about that. Now let us move to our gospel lesson for today. Jesus has taught. He's tired. He's been kind of on the road. They put him in the back of the boat. He falls asleep, and then the storm comes up. If you look at the cover of your bulletin today, you see three or four guys trying to hold on to the sails, trying to move the boat steadily into the storm. The others are kind of on the side, panicking, wondering what to do. There's one guy, if you look closely, who's throwing up. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? That's the kind of holy thing we want to see at church, isn't it? But there he is, kind of hanging off the side. Thank Rembrandt for that imagery. The next time you see him. We are at that instant. The Church of Jesus Christ is always at that everlasting instant between tragedy and triumph. We are in the boat. We are standing in front of Goliath. We are wondering what to do. They wake Jesus up. They wake Jesus up, and Jesus says, where's your faith, people? What have I been teaching you all this time? Have you forgotten that God's in control, not this little teapot tempest which we're enduring? And he tells the wind to cease and the waves to lay down, and everything is finally wonderful. We have had together a marvelous 18, 20 months or so. It has been absolutely grand. And now I feel comfortable in saying it's time for this church to gird its loins, to load the sling, to set sail on the sea that leads to the future, and prosper. The time is now. You have coming to you a marvelous, marvelous new pastor. Nicole, I believe, is going to take you to new heights. I feel like she's going to reinvigorate. She is going to lead with a passion and a confidence which we need, because I'm always going to consider myself part of this church. She's going to give the confidence we need to move out into that ocean, which is sometimes rocky, sometimes windy. Sometimes we wonder what in the world is going to happen. But you're ready. You have the Spirit. You have that faith of David, who, though he had been attacked by lions and by bears, had yet shown himself triumphant. David, who knew the faithfulness of God in the past, and David, who knew that God would be with him even in the midst of the conflict. Those two spirits, David and Goliath, Jesus and the sea, those are the eternal instant in which we live. And God's calling. Paul, in our epistle lesson for today, goes through a terrible litany of the things that have happened to him, and yet he has emerged triumphant. Yet he has emerged confident. Yet he has come forth with a faith and a sense of purpose that led him and the church of Corinth on. We are facing impossible odds in this society. But you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ has always faced impossible odds. Wherever we go and whatever we do, there are things and programs and people who would seek to diminish the work of the church. That cannot stand. We move into the future, assured that we have in our pockets the full armor and blessed potential of God, ready to start the march and loving first and loving all to make this place a home, not only for the righteous, but for the marginalized, for the ones who don't fit in, for the misfits and the miscreants whom God loves. This is going to be, I believe, the hospital where sinners can come to be accepted and loved. Perhaps not cured in our usual way of thinking, but it's not our job to make everybody just like us. It is our job to make sure that those who aren't just like us know that there is a place that is safe and sacred, a place that is hopeful and loving, a place where we see the fullest potential of all our brothers and sisters. Impossible odds? Yes, it is. And it will take time, probably a long time. But remember, we live in this amazing, everlasting instant, this amazing moment of eternity, the same instant in which David slew Goliath and Jesus calmed the waves. That moment is with us still. Let us celebrate it. Let us work toward it. And let us hallow it by our own hopes, prayers, and hands. Let us pray. You, O God, have called us to be your children. Help us to know that love which passes our most sophisticated understandings. Bring to us the weary sheep of your flock who have yet to darken a door. Bring to us the brokenhearted, the despised, and the lonely, that we may be to them a taste of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Oh,
And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Lord, we begin a march into the future, which is yet a part of this everlasting moment, a march into a future where you reign, where our hopes are set upon you. Strengthen us for the march and the tasks ahead, Lord, in your mercy. Strengthen us, we pray. Set aside our fears, our trepidations, our preconceived notions, and even our expectations. Set those aside that we may more fully serve you as individuals and as a congregation, Lord, in your mercy. Set us about the task of being the hospitable place where all your children may find a home. Set us about the task of opening doors and opening hearts and opening souls. Create in us the sense of service that calls us to love first and love all, Lord, in your mercy. And set our feet toward that future which you have already ordained. Call us anew to be the bearers of the tidings of peace. And even, O Lord, when we are surrounded by hostility and violence, keep our eyes set upon that mount called Zion, where there shall be no warfare, nor weeping, nor tears, nor grief, nor anger, nor pride, nor greed. Keep us focused on that mountain, the mountain to which we aspire and to which you guide. And these and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord.
Thank you.
receive a token of that which you first entrusted to us. May the grace of your Holy Spirit multiply these gifts that your kingdom may be expanded, and may that same Spirit strengthen our hearts in the giving, that the building of your kingdom may continue throughout this everlasting instant. Amen.